الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Anytime human beings value something, they also take special precautions to protect that thing. So for example, it may not be the best example to use, but it just highlights the principle. If somebody has an expensive house, if somebody has an expensive piece of jewelry, if somebody buys an expensive car, you'll see that even before they take that item off the lot, even before they take that item home from the store, even before they close the contract on that house, the first thing they'll do, they'll purchase insurance. Now, the reason why they purchase that insurance is because they feel that this is a very valuable item. And they are so afraid of even the impossible that they go ahead and buy insurance. I mean, basically, if you think about it, the probability of someone's house burning down is almost nothing. Yet every single person, before they purchase a home, they'll buy the insurance because of the fact that there's just a potential for something so valuable to be harmed. Realistically, if you look at the probability, there's almost no chance. That's the way insurance companies make money. They know that there is almost no chance for your house to burn down. They know that the way they make money is that they convince everybody that it's possible. Everybody then puts in money, and they have to very rarely pay off on that premium to the rare house that does burn down. But anyway, it's the psychology of the human being that works that way. When they value something, they protect it. They take precautions for it. They're very careful about it. Another example, and perhaps a more pertinent example, is the example of our lives. Now, you look at the way that human beings preserve their bodies, and you'll see that, one, it's extremely valued, and two, there's always constant fear that something might go wrong. SubhanAllah, they can put on the radio that there is this new heart test, and it will detect the possibility of having a heart attack. And 30 and 40-year-old people who usually don't get heart attacks, they'll actually go and line up and to get this exam. Why? Because they have some value for their body. They believe their body to be the sole aim in their life. Their lives are the most important thing to them. So you can scare them so easily by putting on a commercial saying that this one 35-year-old person died of a heart attack, and so all the 35-year-olds and get in line in order to get this new test to look at their heart, even though the probability of them having a heart attack is extremely low. Again, it all boils down to the fact that they value their body, so a slight bit of threat to that body makes them respond. Now, in general, the way that we work concerning our bodies, that we're very, very precautious. And so we have different ways by which we deal with that precaution. The first and the most important is prevention. So what do? Every single year, once a year, we go to our physician. Everything can be totally fine. You could be feeling the best you've ever felt, but you still make that appointment and you're advised to go once a year because everybody knows that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. In fact, this is a statement, right? This is a famous statement within our culture that an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. If you can catch a disease in its early stage, or if you can prevent a disease altogether, it's much better than spending all that time developing the disease and then trying to treat it. Why? Because once the disease is developed, it becomes very difficult to treat. Now, SubhanAllah, that's the case with the human body. And I'll tell you that the exact same applies to the human soul. You've heard me say many times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has composed us of two parts. We have a physical body, and then we have a soul. And the body and the soul, they merge together in order to form the person that you look at, the human being. The body has its importance within the deen, and the soul has infinite importance within the deen. And the reason being is because the body is a vehicle. And the soul is actually what counts. And on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect our souls. He will not resurrect these physical bodies that we see. This body is here for a period of time. And this body will disintegrate into the sand. It will recycle with the earth. But it's the soul that actually matters. So people who get caught up in the body and put all of their emphasis on the body, they're actually emphasizing the wrong thing. But you can learn a lot by watching how people deal with their body in order to learn how we should deal with our soul. The first principle, the one that I want to emphasize today, is that the same idea, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure, applies not only to the physical body, but it applies to the soul as well. Now, in what way? I'll tell you, if you go to a physician's office and you stand in line, and you watch the complaints that come through, 80%, maybe 70%, maybe 60% are people who come in with a problem. So they sat on something for a while, they didn't get their regular checkup, they weren't exercising regularly, they did something in order to create a problem, and then they stand up and they come into the office and they say, I've got this problem. All right, then there's the rare 15%, 20% that are coming for their regular checkup. They're regularly getting examined. They're trying to prevent a problem. Now, the people who come in with a problem, it's always much more difficult to treat those people. And there are so many times that a physician will say, they will not say this to the patient, but they'll think in the back of their mind, if this person would have come to me a year ago, everything would have been so much different. For example, people come in all the time. They say, well, I found this lump, you know, in my neck. So you ask them, okay, how long have you had the lump? Well, I've had the lump for 1 year. Well, why haven't you done anything about it? Well, I thought it would go away. All right. Now, if they would have come in to have that lump checked out a year ago, it would have been much better for them. Then what ends up happening is we check that lump, we find out it's cancer, and we find out that actually the cancer spread to different parts of the body because they didn't act on it soon enough. Same thing happens in the deen. I'll tell you, we have that, people have access to email. For example, people send me emails. And in those emails, if you were to actually scan through those emails and look through the emails, it's the exact same case. Maybe 10 or 15% of people, they're worried about how they can avoid the problems of the soul. But the other 80% come with a problem. And they come with a problem that's so developed that it becomes almost impossible to try to solve it. For example, one of the most common things, a mother will call, or a mother will email, or a father will call, or a father might email. And what will they say? They'll say, my son is way off in left field. My daughter is now way off in left field, right? And then they'll expect you, they'll give you this extreme situation. This happened, and this happened, and that happened, and then all of a sudden, they'll expect you to now solve the problem. All right, now you bring a person who's basically terminal, right, to the physician, and you want the problem to be solved. The question is, how did they end up in left field? They must have started someplace on the base path first. So first of all, they should have been coming here regularly to begin with. We know we meet regularly. We have a tafsir once a month. We have all these other programs going on in Chicago. You find all of these different scholars giving all these programs. The parent should have been bringing the child from the beginning to the program, to these types of events, to these types of gatherings, to this type of company, right? That was the first point. Okay, fine. Let's say that the parent wasn't able to do that for some reason or another, right? They were too busy in their lives. And then when it hits them that now my child's in left field, then they're willing to do everything in the world to correct the problem. But they should have been coming from the beginning. And if they weren't able to come in the beginning, at least they should have been screening their child. Now, if you go back to the healthcare example, first thing we recommend, right, as physicians, is that the patient come once a year and get checked. You have a problem, you don't have a problem, come once a year, let us check you out. That's the first recommendation. Second recommendation is, even if you don't come once a year, at the age of 35, let us screen you for disease A, B, and C. At the age of 40, let us screen you for disease A, B, and C. At the age of 60, we'd like to screen you for these other diseases. Now, what are we doing? We're actually screening the individual for the beginning of disease. So in the same way, when we have a responsibility for a particular person, we should be screening over those people. We should be watching over them. We should be looking for signs. All right? I'll give you another example. A brother comes up to me. He says that it's been 3 or 4 weeks I haven't woken up for the Fajr prayer. Or 3 or 4 weeks I've been sleeping through the Fajr prayer. What should I do? All right, now I'm looking at the brother, and I'm thinking 3 or 4 weeks hasn't woken up for Fajr prayer. Now he's coming 3 or 4 weeks later, number one. Number two, that doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen overnight that a person's praying Fajr every single day, a person's coming to the masjid, and then all of a sudden, in one night, they're not coming to the masjid again. That does not happen. That's not the way the soul works. Actually, what happens is a person's regular, they're coming to the masjid. Then one day, they miss the masjid. Then the next 2 days, they come back to the masjid. The next day, they miss the masjid. The next few days, they come back to the masjid. Then they miss 2 or 3 days in the masjid. Then they come back to the masjid. Then what happens is they start missing Fajr altogether. Now they slept through Fajr day one, then they woke up, they prayed Fajr at home in the last 2 or 3 minutes left. Then they slept through Fajr again. Then 2 days they made Fajr just with 1 or 2 minutes left. All of this is a continuum, and it doesn't happen in 2 weeks. It happens over months. These things happen over months. These things need to be screened. Just like we would screen a patient, in the same way we should be screening ourselves. And we should be screening our children, our people that we're responsible for, the members of our family who we have a relationship with, where we have that type of open relationship. We should be solving these problems before they occur. Now then what ends up happening is then the email comes. 3 weeks into it, that I'm in this state, what should I do? All right, now it's possible. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in matters of the soul, often performs miracles. The bodily miracles, they occur rarely. Somebody has terminal cancer, they have pancreatic cancer, they're going to die in a year. They usually die in a year. Very rarely will a person miraculously survive. And it's true, in matters of the deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will flip a person and allow them to be cured in a way that they could never imagine. I've seen it many, many times. So I do have tremendous faith in that. But at the same time, there is some practical thinking that we should use. When we see that these issues are arising, when we see that problems are developing, it behooves us to actually pursue them and try to solve them, try to rectify them, and try to be honest about them. So number one, you have to work on prevention. How do you work on prevention? By committing yourself to some sort of gathering, to some sort of company, to some sort of daily routine. You'll see that on, for example, the Sacred Learning website, I ask the students to fill out a daily routine, right? If you regularly fill that out, you know what I'm referring to. If not, you can go to the website and you can see what I'm referring to. Students fill that out every single week and they mail it. Now, many students don't know, but if I see a routine coming in 1 week, then I see it coming in the next week, then I see it coming in the next week, people think, well, okay, what's the big deal? It tells me a lot. Because it tells me that the person's regular, that they're at least making an effort. Even if they write down that they did 0 minutes, let's say it's muraqabah, even if they write down they did 0 minutes, at least I know that it's coming in regularly. When a routine comes in once a week, and then 3 weeks later the next one comes in, and then a month later the person sends in 3 weeks worth, that's when I begin to know that problems are starting to arise. That's my mechanism of screening. Now, the person might think, oh, that's not a big deal, I don't need to send it in. It says a lot. Because actually what I'm doing is I'm monitoring. I know, oh, wait a minute, I haven't seen an update from this person in a long time. Let me go back and read this one carefully. So the update is, for example, one means of prevention, or one means of prevention. Similarly, regularly coming to the gathering, when I see, okay, someone's here regularly, right? I'm much less worried about that person than when I see, okay, person didn't show up for many, many weeks, all of a sudden they showed up, there was really nothing going on, then I sit down and talk to them, then they say, well, yeah, things aren't going the way they should go. So that's another sign. And then, that's me screening, right? That's me watching out for the people who have committed to coming here, for the people that have committed to developing in this way. At the same time, you have to screen yourselves. There's a lot that cannot be seen externally. but only you can see. And it's very important that you screen yourself. Look at your schedule. Look at your routine. Look at what you're emphasizing. Look at your own development and be open and honest. There's no benefit in coming and saying, well, I've been doing all these great things when they haven't been occurring. And there's no benefit in hiding a problem, because if you do that, the only thing that results is either you disappear altogether, right, which is usually a bad sign, or you end up showing up, but you end up showing up with a much, much deeper problem than needed to actually exist. So it's very important. I can't emphasize this any more than repeating it several times, that you regularly screen yourselves. It's like a diabetic. See, we're all diseased. This is a gathering of the diseased. There's no one here that's superior to anybody else. The purpose why we gather here is because we know our inherent deficiencies. We know that we are very weak, and we know that Shaitan is an enemy that is very difficult to face. So we all sit here in the same weakened state. Now, you know, a person who has diabetes, what do? Every single meal, they're, pricking themselves and checking their sugar, pricking themselves and checking their sugar, pricking themselves and checking their sugar. Why? Because they know they have to watch their sugar. They know there's a danger. They know they have a problem and it needs to be addressed. And if it's not watched, it can result in something much worse later on down the line, like blindness, kidney failure, etc. So in the same way, we're diseased. That's already a given. So doesn't it behoove us to regularly check our state? And that's exactly what we do through prayer. That's what we do through making istighfar at Fajr and Maghrib. That's what we do by coming here and seeing one another and getting excited by gathering by a group of righteous people, etc. So that's the other responsibility. So one is to put yourself into a situation where you're screened, right? So put yourself in the company of someone who was always watching over you and develop a relationship with that person. Number two, screen yourselves. And number three, when you detect something, come quickly. Don't let it get to the point where it's been 6 months and I haven't come to the masjid. Don't let it get to the point where it's been 6 months and I haven't been waking up for Fajr, because now we're dealing with a huge mountain. And every mountain starts out as a small little sand pile. First, it was a sand pile. This little problem that you probably didn't recognize to be too big was actually very tiny. It could have been solved at the very beginning. And instead it grows, it grows, it grows, it grows, and then gets into a mountain, and now we have to move a whole mountain. We could have just leveled the sand, and instead we have to bulldoze a whole mountain. And you know how hard that is. So it's very important that you keep these three essential principles in mind when you're trying to develop your soul. Just as you would do so with the body. The body has these principles. You place importance on the body. You know that the body basically represents your existence. And so therefore you follow these principles in that regard. In the same way, the soul represents your essence, not your existence, your essence, your permanent existence. What you will be on the day of judgment is what your soul is. So obviously these three principles apply, and they apply bil-awla, even more. They apply to the nth degree. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq to be among those who regularly place ourselves in the company of those who are screening us, to be among those who regularly screen themselves, and to be among those who, when a problem does arise, are quick to seek a solution. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.